Good morning, and welcome to an episode of Dualistic Unity Raw. And I just wanted to stop this one right at the beginning and take a moment to ask you to stop. Just stop. That doesn't mean stop what you're doing, but stop thinking about yourself for 1 second. And I want you to just focus on the breath that is going in and out of your body. As you're inhaling, I want you to focus on that inhale. Not trying to get anywhere. I just want you to be as aware as possible of the air going into your body. Feel it expand your lungs. Feel your lungs absorb the air. Now exhale. You could have exhaled previously, but what I'm saying is when you exhale, be in that exhale. Allow yourself to just feel it leaving your body. Feel all of it just escaping your mouth, escaping your throat, escaping your lungs, going into the unknown and dissipating like fog vanishing. Now inhale again and feel all of that fresh air, all of that unknown just rushing into your body, down your throat, into your lungs, maybe through your nose. Focus on that. Feel that. Can you feel that? And exhale and feel that. That is happening. That is real. Here and now, you and your breath are the same thing. And that is all that's necessary to stop thinking about your story. It's just to focus on what's actually here, what you're actually experiencing. What would remain if you removed your thoughts about yourself? It's a practice, though. It's simple. You can focus on breathing. You can focus on the chair underneath your butt. You could focus on the way that you're walking. You could focus on the sound of the room around you. You could focus on anything. Or you can continue focusing on the story of yourself. But that's the choice. There's no path to it. There's no trajectory. There's no road that will get you to this place where you can now let go. You can just let go now. Right now. By simply breathing and being a part of your breath.
And just breathing. And feeling that breath. And really settle you in to what you're doing and what's actually happening right now. Because I've been spinning around for a little bit. been in New York for a little while, and been Lee, I was just uncomfortable with getting out of my comfort zone. With shifts and changes in my life, different, you know, perceptions of myself. And yeah, I've been getting caught up in many different perceptions of myself and, you know, fearing certain ones for sure. And it's interesting trying to find words sometimes for things, but I'm now back in Nanaimo and I'm happy to be here and looking forward to maybe getting some karaoke in.
Yeah, that'll later. Be fun. Absolutely. I really want you all to practice this, you included. Just breathe. Breathe. All of that weight, all of that idea of yourself doesn't have to be there. You can just breathe. You can just be where you are and then just express yourself. And that's all. That's all there is. You just keep moving forward. But so often we think that the path in our head is actually the path that we're on. And it's never the path that we're on because we're not on a path. We're not on a path. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing happening. It's just that we are in this reality that has really nothing to do with us personally. Mm-hmm. And we want it to have something to do with us personally. We want to be able to continue to think about ourselves, because there's some satisfaction in that. It's like, well, hold on. If I can think about myself, then I can get control and I can get what I want and I can think I know what I want and all of these things. But with that goes the roller coaster, the up and down, that emotional spectrum that we're so very used to. But when you really just breathe and bring yourself back to here and now, that emotional spectrum really changes. Like, the roller coaster ride stops. It's very unsatisfying. Like, that's the whole point, is when you're going through these thoughts, when you're going through this stuff that's quote unquote heavy, try to remember that it's heavy because you're looking for a resolution to it. It's heavy because you're trying to get rid of it instead of just blowing it away like smoke. You're making it solid by trying to solve it. And you're trying to solve it because you're afraid. Why are you afraid? What are you defending? And if you're honest about it, it's some idea of you that you think gives you value and certainty. Gives you certainty in where you're going, what life's going to be like, how people are going to see you. That's what you're defending. That's where your fear comes from. There is no way for you to resolve that. As soon as you think about yourself, you will have that fear of losing that self, of that self not having value, of that self not having control. They go hand in hand. This is why I always laugh about the quote, you know, I'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven, because that's the trade. You can think about yourself and go through the spectrum of frustration and disappointment and expectation that goes with you trying to establish more control and more value, and that is your hell. Or you can let go. Be here. See where it goes. And that is serving. Because you don't know where it goes, but each and every moment is a reflection of how much attention you pay to it. And that's what you get. It's not satisfying. You don't get some magic resolution. There's no orchestra music that's suddenly going to come up. Like, you know, here's the cathartic moment. None of that. It really is a trade. Are you tired of suffering through this fiction of you? And if you are, then just breathe. That's it. Just breathe. You can come back to reality anytime. It's not a path. It's not a journey. Because that's all part of that fiction. There's no perfection to reach. You're here. This is it. It's just super unsatisfying to that fiction of you. And that's what you get to deal with.
Oh, man. Because any judgments that you're afraid of are really just your own. And any judgments that you have are just your own judgments about what you think it would mean about you if you were doing the same thing that you're judging someone for. And so, you know, the no thoughts, no problem sort of deal. It's like, if you're not thinking about it, it's like there's no issue with reality or anything that's going on. And so, yeah, and then as soon as it's the thought, there can be certain perceptions that you focus on or look at, and it's, yeah, there's nothing personal about it whatsoever, and that's okay too. You know, like the Krishnamurti quote, big secret is I don't mind what happens. And so, you know, if all options, everything's on the table, and there's certain ones that you're like, oh, but I don't know about that. It's like, you know, you got to find out somehow. And so, yeah, I've oh, goodness gracious. I've had a fear of being gay for a while, and I think it's deep seated in religion, and Yeah, like going through Catholicism, Catholic school, like, you know, even people in my lives having a lot of judgment about it. It was something I was always, you know, so afraid of that it was like, oh yeah, no, definitely, definitely straight, definitely straight. And that was, you know, a thing that I kind of like wanted to be or like wished I had been. And I don't know, you know, I don't know, one side or the other, but
yeah. Well, and that's just it. And you don't need to, but that's the kind of the point is that like growing up, there's always this background echo of if you don't act quote unquote in a certain way in as a man, then you must be gay. And so I'm not an overly aggressive person. When I was a kid, I was angry, right? But I wasn't the kind of person who'd be going around, you know, trying to assert my manliness over people. I tended to stick to myself for the most part. And, you know, I never really did the jock sports thing, right? And so there was no identity there to get lost in. And so very often I would deal with people who assumed that just because I was quiet and not asserting my manlyhood, that I must be gay. And so immediately you're feeling ridiculed, you're feeling isolated, you're feeling ostracized by people who are ultimately just expressing their insecurity, you know? And that's the thing, you're like, it's kind of like when we're growing up, you're like, oh, I don't want my friends to judge me. It's like, they're judging you, they're not really your friends, you know? And the same is true. It's like, I don't want these people to think that I'm gay. It's like, yeah, but they're all kind of assholes. You know, like that's kind of the point is you're trying to live up to the public approval of people who are insecure and childish. But nonetheless, because it's important to you, there comes this fear and it becomes associated with ridicule and it becomes associated with being ostracized. It becomes associated with embarrassment and all this other stuff because there's all these expectations. And really what you're getting a good, good, hard look at there is just how firmly invested you are in that illusion. That's really it. You're really looking at like all the things that you use to try and feel more certain and valuable. And we're like, oh God, I got to get rid of the fears instead of looking at the fears are actually informing what you're leaning too heavily on.
Yeah. And then it's like certain fears will pop up and certain specific perceptions will pop up. I think I already said that. Now I'm just like, you know, running around. You know, because there are so many things that you try to keep in mind all the time, despite it being entirely unknown. Like it's still, you know, until someone starts texting you something or calling you or something and like specifically saying it to you, it's entirely unknown and uncertain. Like everyone's perception, how anyone's seeing, how I'm seeing, how I think I'm seeing versus how I'm actually seeing. It's like, I don't know. And I'm never going to know. And so, you know, if I have certain fears of being certain ways or certain judgments about certain things, they're just my own, you know, self-judgment. And yeah, I wonder sometimes if, you know, the self-judgment, a lot of that stems from deeply repressed.
No, it stems from identity.
Thoughts about things. Yeah.
And you just built another one. Like, ah, it's deeply in there. It's deeply in there. It's like, nope, it's just you relying on an idea right now. It's not that it's deeply in there. It's just that you just don't want to let it go.
Yeah.
That's really all it is, man. Like, it's such a weird thing that we have turned sexual our sexual preferences into an identity to begin with. Like it's an odd thing, admittedly, because human beings are neither heterosexual, bisexual, homosexual. Human beings are sexual, like they're sexual creatures. Like all of us have sexual urges straight up. What varies is our preferences. You know, what varies is what we find attractive and why. And that varies as much as all of our individual journeys. In fact, a lot of our journeys where our sexual preferences are actually informed by the shit we went through before we were ever sexual. Right? Which is why a lot of people have like mommy or daddy issues. you know, that kind of thing. And that comes out in their sexuality later on. And see what I'm saying is that we are sexual beings, and that sexual nature, that those sexual urges are very much influenced by the story that we've lived, by the journey that we've been on, by all the experiences that we've had. We tend to take those preferences and then go, nope, there's one camp over here and one camp over here. And that's about as ridiculous as somebody identifying with the type of person that they're attracted to, not just the gender, but no. I'm blonde or asexual. You know, I'm only interested in blondes. Therefore, I'm blonde or asexual. And it's like, no, that's not an idea. That's not a thing. That's not an actual thing. That doesn't separate you from everything else. It just means that you have a preference that you are now identifying with. And that, you know, there's a lot of comfort in that, because then you can come together with other people of the same preference with the same label. And then what happens? That you're at odds with everyone else. And so, as always, it just comes down to the recognition that we are sexual beings because we have the ability to have sex. Everything else is preference and our need to make it into an identity instead of just living our life, just living your life. Like, you don't have to define yourself as heterosexual or homosexual to go through your life and only be attracted to one side or the other. It doesn't have to say anything about yourself. You don't have to define yourself at all. That doesn't take away from your ability to have those relationships. It doesn't take away from your ability to enjoy yourself or to be in the reality of that relationship. But it takes away the need to live up to some fucking standard, to live up to some expectation, to live up to some idea, which means takes away the need to defend that idea, which puts you in a conflict with everyone else.
Right. And it's always just that conflict. It's always just conflict with yourself. Just dealing with your own judgment. Making it about me. Yeah. Just doing that. And so, yeah, that's really all it is. All it ever is. And so anyone's connection to that, you know, to their own story is just making their own assumptions and dealing with that weight. And that's not something that they have to do either, you know? And so it's really our own individual journeys that we're on, you know, our own thoughts about what something is or who someone is or what they've done or whether it was right or wrong, like all of our thoughts about those things, about anyone, including ourselves, are just our own. That's our own journey to go on, each of us. But, you know, it's every journey has its crossover. And, you know, sometimes certain ripples may have more crossover. And so, yeah, you know, you just keep going through everything in your life and try and keep paying as much attention as you possibly can and realize that all the stuff you're thinking about is just your own, you know, no thought, no problem.
It's right. All just a need for control and a need to identify. Again, that's really what it is, you know. But if you look at reality itself, reality, as much as it's dualistic, it's not, what's the word I'm looking for? Polaristic? No, I don't think that's it. As much as there's a spectrum between one side and the other, it's not black and white, I guess is what I'm saying. It's a spectrum. You know, it's not, you know, one side versus the other. There's a spectrum of gray area. That's really all everything is. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't just apply to, you know, sexuality. It applies to, you know, our tastes and preferences for smell and food and everything else. Like, you can't just go like, yep, I like Mexican food and only Mexican food. And yet some people would. They'd identify that way, uh-huh. Right? Because it defines them and all of that stuff, right? But the fact is that, you know, if they were introduced to different flavors, then they would have a different spectrum. But the same is also true for the whole thing that we're having with gender as a whole. I was explaining this the other day that, if you look at humanity, right? Yes, there's men and women, right? Mm-hmm. But those are only labels for the extreme ends of a spectrum. Mm-hmm. There's actually a great deal of variation in between, right? Based on how much estrogen or how much testosterone is on either end, right? So there, if there's a greater amount at one side, we're like, that's a man, right? Or that's a woman. But if all of a sudden there's like somewhere in between, then we're like, it's one or yeah, maybe it's both. And it's just like, well, that means that neither of them were really what we thought they were, right? Like, it's just a spectrum again. And our body expresses that spectrum through variation. Right. This is why I find it funny that, you know, a man's testicles are really just ovaries. Right. Like, basically all of our stuff just fell out. And that's very much the difference. But that's when you look at how our chromosomes are expressed, when you look at it in terms of not just, you know, XX or XY, but then there's XYY, like there's different spectrums of gray area in there, which means that there is no actual polarity in the way that we think about it, but we want to identify. We don't want to go like, yeah, you know, I've got one of those things. So we're like, I'm a man, right? And that was the point. But then all of a sudden, man became an identity. Instead of just a biological description, it became a way of acting, a way of dressing, a way of talking, a way of, you know, living, a way of treating people, all that stuff. It became an identity. And that's what fucked us up.
Yeah. It really is all just that identity. You know, they're all just words trying to express and explain what you think is going on in reality. You know, what you think is happening in reality. And it's all, yeah, it's all just our own stuff, you know. And then fear of judgment, fear of, which is really just fear of the unknown, as I said before, like of, yeah, someone like reaching out and telling me something. And so really all the thoughts are that, and that's, you know, something that, it's not that you work through them, but you just understand and accept them and keep moving forward. And so, yeah, no thought, no problem. And then, you know, you just live your life and you just keep living it moment to moment and just like paying attention to what's going on and how you're feeling and not judging that either, because feelings aren't even something you can specifically put a finger to. Yeah. You know,
that's just it. You know, you can just live your life, but that means there's no satisfying conquering of your fears. You know, there's none of that, you know, resolution that means so much about you, the hero going from the underworld to fucking Mount Olympus, all that shit. It's just super unsatisfying. You're like, fuck, I gotta stop reading the book. And that's really it. Like, it's like dropping a book midway.
Yeah.
Right. You're like, but the character. And that's the thing. There's always that option to go back to that character. But it's true how things change over time. Like, I used to be really insecure about my looks as a whole. Like, I just thought because I was unlovable, nobody ever wanted me, therefore I must be ugly. Like, the Disney movie I resonated with the most was The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Very much Quasimodo. You know, like, nobody wanted me. There was no love in my future whatsoever, you know? And so that was the story I told myself. And over time, I've realized it's because I had an idea of what, you know, attractive was, of what lovable was, of what, you know, all these things were. And so this is how my brain processed all this. And so I had to let that go. I had to realize every time I was insecure when somebody was looking at me, it's because I thought somehow my face was going to make the difference between me being lovable or not, you know, and instead of realizing like, it's just the face. It does what faces do. It's keeping all the shit inside, you know, like it's doing you a favor is what I'm saying. Cause you wouldn't want to see me without a face. So the point is that after a while you find all that absurd. The other day I made a video, about if you're religious and wondering why people keep ridiculing you, it's because your belief is ridiculous. And somebody responded that I had a horrendous face. That was more or less their comment. And I just laughed. Like, I laughed really, really hard in a way that was so genuine that it warmed my heart. And it's just because at one point that would have crippled me. I would have been thinking about that shit all day long. Why? Because of all of the reasons I listed up until now, right? I would have, because all of those things were something I was holding on to that defined me, as gave me a path to being more, gave me a path to value, gave me a path to certainty, right?
Yeah.
And it was all just horseshit in my head.
Yeah. And assuming that something means something about you, or something means something about your value, again, because like everything is out there, every different type of person. And so certain bubbles assume certain things, and, you know, certain ones are just so uptight that they couldn't possibly fathom something happening or playing out, or someone being a certain way, you know, or being like, you know, gay or straight or bisexual or whatever, because it's so rigidly held on to that reality is what I think it is, and it is what I assume that it is, and it is what I think about, and it's not what I think about at all. It's just this, you know, it's just this right yeah, here.
Exactly. Well, I'll just circle back for a minute, just because I find it really funny that we've had this conversation for like 2.5 years. Yeah. And what's funny about this is that we're not saying anything here that you don't know. It's we're not saying anything you haven't said. You know, it's just fucking impossible to remember when you're in your thoughts. That's the thing. We keep looking for a way to solve the thought. If I let go, the thoughts will go away. But you see how that's not letting go? That's another action by you, the thinker.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes the concept of letting go instead of breathe. Breathe until there's no you left and there's just the breath. That is the whole point. And if you can do that, you can do it all the time. Because the you that you were holding on to is as real as that breath that you just let go of. The one that's gone now, it's no longer the cohesive breath you thought it was when it left your body. It's dispersed into nothingness. That's exactly how fucking solid your thoughts are. That's exactly how solid that illusion is. You just have to let it go. Just breathe it out. That's why I was saying, you know, I honestly, when I get heavy in the head, I exhale. And to me, what I do is I just look at all of those thoughts leaving with my breath.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually how it feels to me. Is the deeper I get into that breath, it's just like draining all the shit out of my consciousness.
Uh-huh.
Like it's just releasing all of it. It's like, nope, I'm going to breathe that out. And that's how hard it is to let go of these thoughts. Just breathe them out.
Yeah.
Just breathe them out. As soon as you can, if you can actually just understand that your breath and the thoughts that you associate with them can go out of your body, just like, oh, there they go. Boom, you're right back here.
Uh-huh.
You're right back here. Yeah. But there's no end to the journey. There's no mystical fucking Shangri-La to get to where mm-hmm. you're like, now I'll never get into the shit again. No, you will. You possibly will, because you've been doing it a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't think about that. Just yeah. go, oh, fuck, I'm in it. Breathe.
Yeah. 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 Because like, you know, you go through your life assuming certain things about certain other things, and it's all just, yeah, it's all just stuff in your head. And yeah, then there's certain ways that you judge yourself that, you know, you want to hold on to, you know, and just assumptions about yourself and what you think you are, what you wished you were, what you wanted to be, despite not really feeling that way at all deep down, you know? And so, you know, sometimes you do realize that maybe you're gay, you know? You never know. And I've wondered about that for a long time. I think that's maybe what led to just being quieter when I was younger, was the fear of expressing, the fear of sharing that. So, yeah. And then it's like, what would happen if that was expressed or shared? Or
people, see, it's funny. I had a litany of things I didn't want to say when I was younger. It wasn't just that fear. It was every fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm scared in general.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. But that's all. I mean, can you accept that? Because it's funny. We're like, maybe I'm gay. Can you accept that maybe nobody's straight? Can you accept that maybe there's no such thing? You know, like that's kind of the point, that there is no such thing. Like, we just want to pin it down. Again, there's the brain. It's like, it's got to be what? No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. It doesn't have to mean a thing. You know, your preference does not have to become a prison. You know, it does not have to become self-defining. That doesn't mean you can't, you know, go and live by those preferences, but to define yourself by them, there's no point. Like, what is the payoff there? And I mean that sincerely. You know, what is the payoff in defining yourself one way or another, outside of the fact that when you leave the house now, you have something you have to live up to instead of your life that you can be informed by? Yeah, you know, like, that's kind of the whole point, is that if you spend your life trying desperately to cling to one side or the other, you're always going to live in a state of fear. You're always going to live in a state of doubt. You're always going to live in a state of worry and confusion, because you're never one thing. You're never on one side of the other. They're all just thoughts. They're fiction. Like I said, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in the way that we want to think it does. We just desperately want to think about ourselves. Whenever you want to start a sentence with, you know, I am, and then fill in the blank, just don't. Just don't. You know, save yourself a world of fucking misery. And just accept the uncertainty that you are not whatever it is you were going to finish that fucking sentence with. You're not. Can you deal with that? Can you live with that? Can you just move forward with your life? Can you? Because that's the point, is that you can move forward with your life thinking about all this stupid shit that you are never going to be, or not, and actually move forward and take advantage of each and every moment that you live in. Or you can dwell on yourself. But it's that. Or you can dwell on yourself. You can sit in your room, not having any life experience whatsoever, thinking your way to some idea of yourself that's never going to make you fucking happy. And then when it all falls apart over the long term, you're going to do it again with a different idea. It's going to be the same goddamn cycle over and over and over again, desperately, desperately trying to find some certainty as to who you are and what the path to happiness is, so that way you know what everybody thinks about you, blah, blah, blah. It's the same shit, and it'll always end up with the same goddamn conflict. You'll always end up right back here where you are with no certainty about what that is or where you're going. That's the reality. So save yourself the fucking time. That's really it. But nobody can tell you to do that. It's not something you should do. Are you tired yet? Are you tired of thinking about yourself? Are you tired of suffering? Are you tired of wondering who you are, what your purpose is, what people think about you, where you're going, what it means about you, where you've come from, what that means about you? Are you tired? That's the only real fucking question here. Are you tired? Because if you are, you can stop. But it's the only way you're going to stop. The only way you're going to stop is to be genuinely tired of it. But that means to be willing enough to have a moment of self-honesty where you go, yeah, fuck, this sucks. This isn't fun. You know, and that's what it is. Can you acknowledge that? That the mentality that you've invested in for so very long is actually just a fucking shit show? You know, or are you going to continue to go, but I put so much time and energy into it? Are you going to do that? Just because you've done it for so long, because you can do that forever, and all that's going to happen is you're going to die fucking miserable.
Yeah, that's the only place it's going to get you. And, you know, you think about certain things, and you start thinking about more stuff. It's like thinking about different perceptions and, you know, how things may play out, you know, in the future, in reality, like, despite having no control of that whatsoever. Like, my response is my response, your response is your response. And it's not on anyone else to, you know, try to control, or to be able to control, or assume that they could control, or to blame anyone else for a response to something, happening or playing out. Like, it's always just what it is. You know, it's always what it is. And anything beyond that is just your assumption, you know, your opinion, your thoughts about what it is. And yeah, it's like there's certain sort of right ways to live that we assume that a lot of people believe. And so it must be more so the case, but it isn't. It's just a lot of people who have kind of grouped themselves in a specific way because maybe a lot of them have their own fears that they deal with and didn't want to look at, or, you know, never tried or saw or tried to find out, you know. It's just, yeah, it's all our own experience. And it's like, yeah, you can hold on to some thoughts about what something means for your whole life. You can definitely do that and live on this spectrum of oscillation between how you're thinking about yourself, or you can stop thinking about yourself, period, and just act and live and experience reality, like actually experience it, not the one that you're thinking about, not the, you know, assumptions you're making about yourself and how you're doing, like, not about that at all, because all of that is taking you away from just being here, just being in, you know, involved, actually, you know, experiencing reality. And, you know, yeah, the alternative is just living up to this or trying to create this self-made bar about what you think you are, you know, what you assume you are, you know, despite, you know, feelings that you may have as being contradictory or different than those thoughts, because they stem from, you know, sometimes generational fears too, you know, and that continues to get passed down a lot of times because of beliefs and whatnot. And they're all absurd. Like, they're all so silly. Like, so silly. And it's this whole world that we can create and focus on, stemming from focusing on ourselves, thinking about ourselves. What about me? This response, what this means about me, what people are going to think about me because of that. It's still you thinking about yourself. It's still you thinking about yourself. And that's where, you know, it all stems from. And so, you know, anytime there's a judgment, it's always self-judgment. It's always just stemming from you.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I think it's really important to remember that the two worlds look the same. Like, reality and your thoughts about it look the same. Isn't that funny? Mm-hmm. Like, you can be looking at a person and they look the same regardless if you were actually there with them or thinking about your assumptions about them. Mm-hmm. They look exactly the same. It's actually far deeper than the appearance of it whatsoever. You know, it helps to remember that. I wanted to comment quickly on this because it's important to remember that the deep end of taking your shit so seriously and judging yourself and holding on to this fiction is that eventually you will run out of shit to cling to. You'll still have all these thoughts that you can't escape, and they're just going to keep being there. And then you're going to start having thoughts of suicide. You know, that's often the case. And I know, because I went through that for a long time, and it was because I just wanted the thoughts to stop. I just wanted the fucking ongoing misery of never being enough to stop. And so it came to the point where I was entertaining the idea of just ending my life entirely, or ending the story entirely. And that's the trick, is to recognize that you could just surrender the story. It has nothing to do with your body or your life because they're not the same thing. They just look the same. See, the idea of you and you look the same. They're not the same. And so while you're like, oh, I got to kill myself, you're talking about the idea of yourself. You can do that now. And it's not something that you can permanently do so much as just breathe and allow that fiction to evaporate again like fog. That's all it is. Ego death is just ego suicide. That's all it is the recognition like, fuck, I'm just keeping this puppet up, pretending it's me, and I can just put it down. And that's it. And so that's really the work, but it kind of goes with the same reason that people are like, oh, the end of the world is coming. It's because the alternative is rolling up your sleeves and doing something outside of just, you know, holding on to who you think you are while it destroys everything in your life, right? But that's it. It's the same choice. Like, you can just let it go now. Or you can do the thing where you're like, but nope, life is suffering. But once I die, then it's all better. Mm-hmm. And that's the alternative, which is why they had to tell people, no, killing yourself's a sin, because we're making it sound so awesome on the other side that why wouldn't you do it? So now we have to tell you you're going to hell. Right?
There's the
kicker. No, you don't get to go to that nice place if you take the easy way out. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, it's all just based on this fiction where the fact is that we could be turning this into our heaven on earth. Because, and I say this with absolute conviction, heaven on earth is here. It has nothing to do with the world affairs. It has nothing to do with the inequality and the corruption of government and all of that, and everything to do with your freedom to live in this moment right now, free of all of that shit that you think means something about you. Heaven on earth does not mean a lack of responsibility. It does not mean a lack of shit to do, because that'd be fucking boring. It means actually being on earth rather than in the fiction of you that does nothing but cause you hell. Because as long as we're all collectively lost in that fiction, we will cause collateral damage on a collective level, and we will not be able to stop it or see it because we are too invested in the fiction. It's the same sickness. It's the same habit. It's the same addiction. We are lost in the idea of ourselves, and it removes us from reality, where the answers would be far more clear because we would actually be paying attention.
Yeah. Because reality is all that's happening. Like, any avoidance of this is just thinking about yourself and just prioritizing that and assuming that that means something about you, that entire world of thought, you know, because every thought, it's like it can come with a judgment, with a spectrum, you know, and it can feel like there's so many out there and you just don't know. You know, you don't know. And so, yeah, this perception of myself, it's like every time I think about that, and then it, you know, it overlays everything, like everything that I do, everything that I say. It's everything that, you know, is just happening.
Nice one, Marie. Somebody just wrote a quote from Jim Carrey: heaven is not this or that, it's the depth of this moment. Pretty much. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the point, is that we all start to sound very similar as we get out of our story. There's a reason. It's because we're all the same awareness. It's all the same experience. Like, we are all reality lost in a story of individuality. Mm-hmm. We are all the same thing, lost in the perception that we are separate and in control. And as I said, it's so tricky because the two realities look the same. See, you could go out of your house, go to your work, meet somebody, you know, be pursuing your trajectory, your desires, your needs, and suffering accordingly, and still playing your part that you would be playing if you weren't doing all that. See, I can go to work and make it all about me and have a terrible day, or I can go to work and just go through the day. Work gets done regardless. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So the two worlds, again, they look the same. It very much looks like the world when you're thinking about it, but it's not. And the point is to start developing that sensitivity. How do you develop that sensitivity? Suffer. That's how. You know, keep investing in that illusion. Keep going through the ups and downs of expectation and frustration, disappointment, need, all of that. And what you'll start to recognize if you're watching isn't, oh my God, I'm suffering, I need to solve this, but oh my God, I'm suffering, I've invested in something that I don't need to. Oh my God, I'm suffering, there's something I'm holding on to that maybe I don't recognize is causing me pain. We're always informing ourselves, but we're so busy trying to escape the feeling that we don't actually look at it and go, well, that's funny, because that wouldn't be there unless I was taking something else seriously. And that's a chance for self-honesty. That's a chance for that self-reflection. But, and I can't express this enough, keep it light, because wanting it to be heavy or pretending all of this is a heavy journey is really just a way of holding on to it. If it's heavy, you can't just put it down. You understand? If it's something that's arduous, if it's like this ongoing process, it can't just stop now. It's just more of an excuse. I used to do the same thing all the time. I used to go, well, it's difficult to just stop judging myself. No, it's not. It takes more effort to judge yourself. You just don't want to stop. Why don't you want to stop? Because there's some vested interest in it. You know, you're still banking on it paying off somewhere. You know, and that's all it is. And so all you can do when it pops up is go, yeah, all right, but I've done that. Let's see what else is there. You know, and that's it. You know, like there are things that happen all the time where, well, a perfect example. So we have a contact down in the States that may end up working with us in a business sense. Mm-hmm. I was going to reach out to them to establish, you know, when we were going to get together with them next, but I've been kind of busy. And so I asked somebody else who works with us to reach out on my behalf. You know, do you mind giving them a call? I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah.
They were surprised. They're like, really? And it's just because I tend to be the kind of person who just does the shit anyway, right? Mm-hmm. But that in itself was super challenging for me because I had to go, yeah, but I've always done it that way. Like I've always been the kind of person who's like, yeah, and I'm good at phone calls. Fuck it. You know, because it gives me more of a sense of control. On the other hand, what would happen if I didn't have to have that sense of control? What if I actually just went, maybe somebody else will do this in a way that I wouldn't? You know, and just see where it goes. Mm-hmm. And that in itself requires me to stop trying to fucking define myself or become more valuable or establish an end result that's going to mean something about my life. Because what do I want to live? A life where I always have to be on the ball looking at all the scenarios, or a life where I can enjoy it as it happens? And that's the practice. But it is, it's a practice. That's all it is. If you can just remember that it's a trade, it's a trade. You can think about the illusion, or you can focus on here. Any part of here, understand? As long as it's not your preferences about here, you can focus on anything. It'll bring you out of your shit. And you can focus on the air. You can focus on your sock. You can focus on whatever you want. Okay? But as long as it's not defining you, it's going to help pull you out of your thoughts. It's going to help. But that's the point, is to remember that, is to understand that the concept of letting go is not the reality of letting go. The concept of letting go is still on a trajectory to fucking heaven instead of just being, which is heaven.
Yeah. And just being is all there really is. And you know, as soon as you're here, it's like, you know, you start seeing certain things or feeling certain ways and having thoughts about, you know, how something may play out or be heard or understood or whatever. And it's all, you know, it's all entirely unknown and uncertain. And you know, you can just keep doing that if you want. you know, and assuming that it's gonna, yeah, assuming that it's gonna get you somewhere, assuming that it's gonna give you some element of control, some element of a guarantee of something in the future, you know? And so, yeah, there's certain things where it's just like, you know, oh, maybe that is, you know, in there, you know? And you can just keep kind of wondering certain things and just holding on to some narrative, some story, some perception of yourself and how you want to be looked at or understood, or, you know.
How you think you want to be looked at and understood. That's the important part. Like, if you think about it, we're like, you know, I want to be looked at as this very closed-minded, superficial idea. You're like, do I really want to? You know, like, think about that. Like, I want to be looked at as a heterosexual male. It's like, by who? Other insecure people who need to define themselves thusly? That seems like a really narrow margin to be trying to earn the approval of. Yeah. Right? Like, that's the whole point, is that we think it's going to do something that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of thought. Thought's like, I will offer you the world. Instead, it puts you in a box and paints it to look like the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's the whole point. It never does what we think it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole fucking point, man, is just to recognize, like, you don't know. You can't know. If you want to settle on any idea of yourself, it's because you're trying to know. And all that's going to do is cause more shit for you and allow you to remain in some familiar box. That's really it is. Just more idea of yourself that you want to hold on to hold off change. And that's the point. Like, all of this comes down to now.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't about a journey somewhere. And I mean this, especially regarding dualistic unity. Like, right now we have investors, for example, and we have an opportunity to invest for anybody who's interested, dualisticunity.com/invest. But you're not investing in a company that's like, and in 5 years, we're going to do this. An investment in dualistic unity is the same investment that you as an individual are making now. It's an investment in uncertainty. It's an investment in the unknown. Where can this go if I'm not putting it in the place where it means something about me? What can happen in my life if I allow myself to actually just find out instead of trying to guess all the fucking time because I'm afraid? What could my life be if I stop holding it down to something that's familiar and comfortable and not within, you know, the realm of things that I don't know I could deal with? That's really all we're trying to avoid. And like I said, it really has to come down to the fact that, are you tired? Are you fucking tired of the weight that you know so well? And if you are you prepared to live without it? Because while you might be looking at it like, oh God, it's such a weight to bear, right? But to you, it's keeping you firmly locked in your idea of yourself. Like, it's a weight that you willingly hold on to because it keeps you connected to that ground that you don't want to let go of. You know, and that's really it. And you can do it all the time. You can choose all the time. That said, I wanted to mention, because I think this, the reason that this comes up is because we have another mini retreat coming up on May 30th. And I want people to understand, you can come to these mini retreats with some journey that you want to deal with. You can come to the mini retreat with a story that you're like, oh, I don't know how to deal with this. It's causing so much pain. I got to resolve it. Blah, 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 blah. You can do that. And many do. No problem whatsoever. Or you can come and just be here with me. That's the practice. Because you'll notice that to me, there is no problem. There's no problem. We're just here. You can bring a problem into it, and then we'll talk about it not being a problem. And then we'll end up back here. But you need to be able to recognize that living here in reality, while freeing, is not egotistically satisfying. There's no you to conquer the journey. There's no end to the journey. There's no goddamn journey. Mm-hmm. That's the point. That's the freedom, is to let go of all of those things and actually just be where you are. But that means you've got to stop trying to feel like more. That's it. You've got to stop trying to feel like anything and just feel. And practice that and cultivate that. Like I said, you know, breathe. That's what meditation's supposed to be, but we forget what the fuck we're doing for the most part. Like, mm-hmm. even when we're like, yeah, okay, I'm just going to focus on watching my thoughts, and we get all the benefit out of that. Then we go back into our lives and we start thinking again. Meditation doesn't have to be a break from your thoughts. It can be an opportunity for you to cultivate a sense of the moment for the rest of your day. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Yeah. A chance to be like, okay, hold on. I just need to shed all this shit. All right. There's the moment. Aha! All right. I'm going to go back to my day. Uh-huh. And then live it out.
Yeah.
It's not one of those things that only remains with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
It's a state of awareness. Yeah. It's a choice to be here rather than in the thought.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and having some idea of yourself that's possibly there, can possibly be there at all times. And so it's like, yeah, dropping that expectation to the floor, just being like, yeah, it's what it is. It's going to be out there, and you can think certain things about whatever you think I am, but it doesn't actually mean anything, you know? It doesn't actually... It's not actually a guarantee. It's not actually a certainty. It's just that investment in that. And yeah, there's just been so many people that I, you know, think about throughout my life and their perception and their opinion. And, you know, what would this person think or what would that person think? It was a big thing for me for social media, you know, just certain thoughts about certain people, judging in certain ways. And yeah, and it's like that can happen for all my thoughts, you know, all my desires, fears, worries, concerns. I can just keep focusing on those instead of just continuing on here and being here. And there's certain things that, you know, you don't want to let go of, and you know you're afraid to express, but it's only because what you think it'll mean about you, you know, what you think it'll mean about what you think you are, which
safe.
Yeah, trying to maintain some sense of, you know, I know I'm this, I'm definitely this, definitely not that, definitely wouldn't, you know, have that desire,
and I definitely know what the world is and how to respond to it.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, that's the whole thing. Like,
yeah,
you know, and this is what the brain always does. Because again, we're looking for a sense of control out of fear, right? Like, if you look at what people genuinely or generally consider to be a mental disorder, for example, like agoraphobia, perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
It's all assumption. I'm safe in here. I'm not safe out there.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? And it's all assumption based on what's out there versus what's in here. Mm-hmm. You're like, no, this is safe. It's like, no, it's not. You know, there's still a bunch of shit that could happen in your home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the thing. They could equally start thinking about all the things that could happen in their home. Then suddenly they're not safe anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
See? But because they're not safe outside, they've got to be safe in here, because the fucking brain loves to do that teeter-totter shit.
Mm-hmm.
It loves to go, oh, yeah, I'm going to sit on this side. Oh, shit, that side's going up. Why does it look so fucking big now?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works. Just like that. As soon as you lean on something heavy, the other side gets bigger. You're like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
It's the point. It's just don't lean.
Yeah. Because any leaning is just assumption about yourself, you know, just certain thoughts and fears and concerns. And so, yeah, with like the sexuality thing, for sure, there's been certain like wanting to hold on to being straight, despite deep down kind of knowing that maybe I did have certain thoughts or, you know, desires or tendencies, and just like not wanting to look at that because of like what someone would think or like how someone would perceive it or how someone might judge it. And like you don't really know. You know, you don't know what the future holds. That whole future that you're thinking about isn't. It's not here. It's not what's happening right now. And so any thoughts that you have about anything even outside of here aren't actually happening. Like, that's not actually reality. It's just within your assumption or your response to certain things that are happening, or certain things that you're, you know, thinking about. It's just your own response to it, your own judgment, your own thoughts, you know, and looking at other people trying to validate that. But it's like, there is no, yeah, there is no guarantee of any of those things as you go. So, yeah.
Last shout out, I just want to mention, because somebody said this to me last week, and I'm really glad they got over it and bought their ticket. Sometimes people think to themselves, oh, I'd really like to go to this retreat, but I'd like to give somebody else the chance to get that ticket. Don't do that. And I mean this sincerely. And the reason I'm saying this is because this really is an exercise in uncertainty. We're flying by the seat of our pants all the fucking time. And because we don't make any profit from these events, they go to fund the next events. And so if you have the desire to come, if you're thinking to yourself, I should go and maybe I should let somebody else go, just come. Just have faith in that fucking thought. Just come. You know, just join us at the retreat, because there's no point in holding off. I mean, you know, this will benefit everyone else better. Like, that's an assumption. If you feel the urge to come, just come. And know that as soon as you do, as soon as you buy your ticket and you help us out, we're doing something else with it that goes towards the next retreat, which is where the next person can go, oh, I'll go to that. Don't be sitting there trying to wait for reality to, like, help us out. You are reality. If you want to help us out, come to the retreat. I mean this. Like, we are all in this together. If you have the desire to come, come. Because it is just possible. That's exactly what we need. So I'm just throwing that out there. Well, I appreciate the altruistic intention. I do. I appreciate the idea. It's like, well, somebody else is going to get more out of it. What if nobody else is ready to go? What if your desire to leave it open for somebody else actually ends up making it so we can't do the next retreat after because we don't have the funding? Because again, all of these come out just at the line. Like, we really don't make anything above and beyond. So just keep that in mind. It's all assumption. We are putting everything we can into whatever this journey into the unknown is called dualistic unity. If you want to do the same, it's appreciated. It really is. But, you know, keep that in mind. All the help, every little bit goes a long way. It really does. And it might just be exactly the thing you need and we need to have you at that retreat. Perhaps you're exactly what the people who are coming to the retreat really need. You don't know. Don't assume. Just come if you can.
Yeah. You never really know. So if you are on the fence, on the edge, definitely make it there. I think there's 2 tickets left now. So yeah, I'm excited. Last year went through some deeper stuff, and I'm sure this time around will be a bit lighter for sure. Okay. A lot of layers to peel back. Yeah.
See, that's the funny part about all this is that it's up to us. If you want it to be heavy, it might just be because you don't understand how strong you are and you want to see.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah.
You know, but all you're going to learn is that you can shuffle off the weight. That's all you're going to learn is that you can put it down. So why bother?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you don't have to put the weight on even. It doesn't have to be there.
Nope.
You know, it doesn't have to be a focus. It doesn't have to be something that, you know, you think should be or have any opinion about anything or anything that, you know, should be happening or shouldn't be happening. You know, it's all just within yourself, you know, and certain things, you know, say going to a retreat, it's like, oh, I don't know, maybe not. Like Denver for one is a really, really dope spot and got a lot of games and everything. So Yeah. I mean, if you're going to make it to one, definitely go to that one. Cause yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. And the jacuzzi.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, this is the thing, is like, this is our last mini retreat for a while. And I'll be honest as to why. There's a number of reasons why. There was a lot to learn from this journey of retreats. We have another full 9-day retreat coming up in November. That's definitely the plan. There is, again, sometimes this assumption that the retreats are where you go to dwell on your story. The retreats are where you go to process your trauma. And while that does happen at the retreat, it should be a result of you actually coming back to the present and then going, oh, that's what I hold on to that keeps me away from here. See, there's a very different process as opposed to coming there going, we're going to think this through and I'm going to come to an insight that means something about me and my journey, as opposed to, I'm going to go and shoot some pool with Ray. Oh, wow. Why am I so insecure about losing? Oh, shit. I'm taking winning seriously. Oh, yeah. That means something about me. And that happens when you're relaxed enough to feel it coming up. But if you're coming to the retreat in the hopes of working through something, you're going to look at me as somebody who can guide you out of it. I'm not that. Nobody's that. Let that go. There's no it to be guided out of. That's just you wanting to think about yourself. Now you're a fucking student on the path to enlightenment. It's just more shit. So this is the reason that we're taking a brief hiatus from these mini retreats. To rethink them, to establish what they are for people, as opposed to what they've been becoming to some degree. Not with everybody, but here and there we have people who come and they're like, yeah, I'm going to come and I'm going to deal with my story, which is great. But the best way to deal with your story is to come into reality. And again, that doesn't mean you're not going to go through shit at the retreat. It's just a matter of priority. It's a matter of focus. What are you coming for? Are you coming to dwell more on the story, or are you coming to dip your toe in the water and actually feel the difference between life and the illusion in your head? So this one in Colorado, very much going to be the template for what the other retreats are going to be in terms of lightness. This does not have to be heavy. Making it heavy doesn't mean a goddamn thing about you. It just makes it heavy. So come practice not making it heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, because it never means anything about you. You can assume that it does, but that's just the same sort of thing that you've been doing. The same dwelling on some, on some perception of yourself, some idea that, you're trying to control, trying to maintain, trying to have some guarantee over. It's like, it's never going to be it, but you can certainly keep, dwelling on it and assuming that it does mean something about you or your value, as opposed to just being here and living and existing without so many thoughts about how you're doing in life. And so, yeah, the retreats absolutely are this opportunity to, just everyone let go of that, or the response to whatever reality is, whatever you think it is. It's not that. But having some narrative about yourself is definitely going to reinforce that. That's for sure.
Isn't it funny? We're caught up in a mentality that immediately makes us feel like less. And so we react by trying to feel like more, not recognizing that's the same mentality. So it's the very effort to feel like more that reinforces the fear of being less, which keeps us in the loop, instead of letting go of the idea that our value is measurable, that we can know the impact that we have, that how other people perceive us is a measure of truth. Yeah. We just don't want to let that go. We're just like, no, I have control. It's like, you don't, though. You don't. And as long as you're trying, it's because you feel like less. It's the only reason, you know, and that is a part of the fiction that you're invested in. It's not something that you can fix by trying to be more. That just keeps you in it. It's like we're fighting fog.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like being a kid. It's like that sense of not having, like, you know, being 4, 5, 6 years old, not having thoughts about yourself so much. I mean, possibly did at some point, starts developing a bit here and there, but that experience of not assuming certain things about yourself, because it's all taught. It's all then taught. I mean, a lot of times at that age, you're going into religion and getting indoctrinated with that whole belief system. And so it starts young, building that, how am I doing? How am I doing now? How am I doing now? How is, you know, am I adequately judging myself? And am I assuming that one thing means one thing and one thing means another? And no, it's like one side or the other doesn't mean anything about you. And that's the that's the bitch of it all, is it's not about me. And, you know, if you assume that it is, it's like you're going to think that everything is about you. And it's going to just be something that you continue to go through throughout your entire life. And it has the potential, absolutely, to be something that you go through your entire life. And, like, you can live an entire life like that. Or you can just breathe and relax and just pay attention to, you know, the floor on your feet.
Somebody comments here, our need for control seems to be supreme. It's just because of that commitment to the idea of ourself that makes us feel separate. That's the idea. If I am what I think I am, I'm not connected to anything else. See, as soon as there's a me conceptually, I'm divided from everything. That immediately creates fear. That's where the need for control comes from, is that fear that doesn't exist unless I invest in the illusion of myself. That's the funniest part about it. Again, you can reign in hell or serve in heaven. The difference is how much you want to focus on how much you're in control and separate from everyone else. That's really it. You know, the difference is to be in reality, not knowing, being as authentically yourself as you can be in the reality of uncertainty and just moving forward. That's really it. We just want to know what the future holds. So we try to come up with an idea of ourselves that's going to limit the options. Think about how absurd that sounds. We want to know what the future holds. So we hold on to an idea that limits the choices we're going to make because we have to now defend that idea. Do you see how all of a sudden uncertainty becomes a lot less scary because we've actually cut off the majority of that field of view?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's why we do it. Yeah. We're like, oh, if I've got this idea, then it's just this small slice of pie instead of the whole fucking pie. Because then we feel overwhelmed. We're like, anything could happen. Yeah, but what's happening now? See, that's it. Our brain's like, but anything could happen. What's happening now? What's happening now? Put your attention into that. Put your attention into that. What's happening now? Not what does it mean about you later? Not what do other people think about you who aren't fucking there or exist in reality? What is happening now? And put your attention into that. And that is cultivating a sense of being yourself. Now thinking about it, just being there and trusting yourself to continue to make decisions as you move through life, those decisions will inform you. That's all it is. But again, breathe. And I really can't recommend this enough, everyone. Breathe. Really put your attention into the most basic fucking thing you need to do to live. Breathe. Because it is far more important than the shit you think about yourself.
Far more. All right. Sweet. Yeah, we're wrapping up here, but yeah, it's far more important. Of course, what's actually happening.
And way easier.
Yeah.
It's easier to breathe than try and solve your life.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you're trying to solve your life, you're creating a problem that's not there.
Yeah.
And a you that owns it, it's fucking weird. But yeah. The whole thing is just, again, it's something to practice. And there are infinitely fine lines and paradoxes along the way. Like, you'll start to think that, you know, I just need to let go. And that's going to fix my life. It's like, let go of that. Yeah. See, isn't that funny? The idea of letting go is not the reality of letting go. The reality of letting go has nothing to do with the path or getting anywhere. That's something to keep in mind. Just breathe. The rest takes care of itself. That said, it's the end of our episode for today. Andrew is back in Nanaimo, which means we're likely going to be doing some more weed reviews, cooking stuff in general. So keep an eye on our Instagram. And if you have any ideas for us, definitely let us know. But we're going to continue on Patreon in like 15 minutes for a tier 2 call and then a tier 3 call. So if you'd like to join us, we would love to see you. But otherwise, have a great day, and thank you so much for joining us.